Fraîche, le spécialiste des produits frais. T'as vu ? Il y a un nouveau magasin Fraîche à Redon.
Oui, à nous les produits de saison bien frais et les petits prix chaque jour. Et aujourd'hui, le kilo de courge butternut est à 79 centimes.
79 centimes le kilo de courge butternut ? Ok, on fonce. Fruits, légumes, viande, poisson, fromage, traiteur, Fraîche à Redon.
Ou 1,29€ le kilo si coupé. Origine France. Pour votre santé, limitez les aliments gras, salés, sucrés.
One thing many Bulls fans are still asking themselves is what is Arturs Karnisova going to do to continue improving the Chicago Bulls and their roster? One thing's for certain, it's not going to be due to a lack of assets at Arturs' disposal. And I'm going to talk about that more on today's episode. We're also going to continue our player grades, this time with Patrick Williams. We're getting into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes. But more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and continue this. Let's go ahead and get to this content for today, y'all. And I was watching Bulls on Tap yesterday, right? And, you know, in that, you know, I was in the comment section, we were, you know, having a conversation back and forth. And we were having a conversation on, like, AK and his lack of aggression, right? And one of the things that stood out to me in that was what AK really does have at his disposal. He probably has more assets at his disposal coming into this season than he's ever had, and as well as maybe any Bulls GM or president has had in quite a while, right? And I'll explain what I mean by that, right? But first, let me just kind of set the stage here, right? When you are running a basketball team or any sports organization, right, you have to be aggressive, right? You have to be proactive, right? You have to know how to kind of read the market and use that market to your benefit, right? And while AK has talked about the summer of 2026, where the Bulls are slated to have almost $160 million in cap space. Now, some of that's going to be eaten into with Josh Giddey's contract, Kobe White's contract, Ayodele Sumo's contract potentially, right? But, like, even that, you're still going to probably head into that summer with a lot of key free agents and tremendous cap space, right? That's what it comes down to. And one of the things, in outside of just cap space, you know, draft picks, exceptions, right, is another thing that teams have, right? And when you look at over AK's time here, right, just – how many exceptions have we let expire? How many trade exceptions? The Bulls, matter of fact, they have a trade exception right now at their disposal, I believe, of $15 million, a trade exception at their disposal that they can use this offseason on top of the cap space that they're already going to have. So that's there for the Chicago Bulls as an option as well, right? But how many of those have we seen expire, right, with the Chicago Bulls? There have probably been about two semi-decent exceptions that the Bulls have just let expire, have not used, right? And heading into this season, this upcoming season, this offseason, the Chicago Bulls have almost $82 million in expiring contracts. Now, I'm not saying all those contracts are players that you're looking to move, but let's just go over, right? Nikola Vucevic, Lonzo Ball, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, Kobe White, Ayodele Sumo, Javon Carter, that's seven players on a 14-man roster that are on expiring deals, right? And in no way I'm saying that every single one of those players should be traded. I'm not saying that, right? But I am saying if you look at that, that is a huge set of assets that the Chicago Bulls can use if they want to, whether it's, hey, let's send out some of these players. We can be a third team in some of these to use as salary cap filler where we get some assets back. Hell, we've been part of those deals before, but we've been on the end where, you know, we weren't getting the asset back because we weren't sending the expiring. The Bulls have that option now at their disposal, right? They have that. They have the capability of sending out some of those veteran pieces that actually could probably help some teams that have aspirations of being a contender, right, or a championship contender to try to get something back there as well. And I want to be clear here. Any Bulls fan that just heard me say those names, right, and have now taken that as, oh, well, we can't move Vooch, oh, we can't move Kevin Huerter, oh, we can't move Zach Collins because he played so well for us, you're part of the problem. You're literally part of the problem that Arturs Karnisova has as well. Lonzo Ball is an expiring contract. Yes, we gave him a 2-year extension, but the second year of that is a club option, meaning that is basically an expiring contract that another team could not pick up the option at the end of next season, and that's an expiring contract for them. If you gave most GMs, well, a lot of some of the better GMs in the league, $81 million in expiring assets, do you know how aggressive they would be about going out, whether you're trading, trying to trade for maybe a star, right? Maybe you're trading for a disgruntled player that the other team is like, okay, they don't want to be here, cool. We don't want to take long-term salary back, but we do want some draft picks. That's another thing. The Chicago Bulls own all their first-round picks, every single one of them now. And oh, by the way, they also have a second-round pick, some of those not being their own second-round pick, but they have second-round picks in every single draft going as far out as 2032. Meaning what? And matter of fact, the Bulls actually have the Washington Wizards 2026 second-round pick, which, I mean, if the Wizards keep down the path they have been, that could be basically a first-round pick depending on how things shake out. AK has more tools at his disposal right now than he's ever had. And this is when you say it, when he talks about practicing patience, okay, cool, right? But practicing patience doesn't mean excusing inactivity, right? And keep in mind, I'm not somebody who complains every year that the Bulls don't make a trade. They're like, oh, well, we didn't make a trade this year. Why not? I don't think it's about making a trade every single year. But it is about using your assets and looking forward into the future and wondering. Like, I'm sorry, I hate to tell you guys, right? Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, these guys came in here and played great for the Chicago Bulls. Make no mistake about it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're part of the Bulls' for future and long-term planning. Now, they could be, right? Kevin Herter's 26 years old. He definitely could be. Zach Collins, 27 years old. Maybe he is, depending on what we do with the center position and Nikola Vucevic. But you cannot go into the season, and that's Bulls fans as well, and think just because somebody played well in your jersey, it automatically means, oh, my God, we can't possibly move on from them. Because that, again, you have to take advantage of the assets. Now, some Bulls fans are going to say, well, Hayes, I don't have faith in AK going out and making the right deals if he were to move on from a Kevin Huerter. So let's keep him on this team. Aha. I understand that 100% completely, right? I do understand that, and I'm not going to act like I don't understand that because I do, right? But this is the time period where you have your aggression, right? This is the time period where you have the tools that most GMs would love to have. You have a clean cap sheet, right? This is your time to get experimental. The Bulls are slated to have, but in the summer of 22, this summer, $60 million in cap space if they don't move anyone else. Next summer, $169 million in cap space, depending on what they do. The following offseason, $211 million. Basically, right, if the Bulls wanted to play this out and they were looking forward and thinking about things going forward between the way that they structure contracts, which is another important part in this, when you extend Kobe or you extend Io, how do you structure those contracts? Me personally, I would front load those contracts because then at that point, as Modest is becoming eligible for his extension, the veterans that we re-signed are actually accounting for less of the salary cap. But then again, I'm getting ahead of myself. We got to make sure that AK is even going to extend the right players and they're not terrible deals, right? So that's another thing that we got to hope for. But, you know, asking AK to think about contract structure, you know, maybe that's asking too much of him. And you guys know, I'm not somebody who comes out here and I like to just attack people, right? I like to think of things level-headedly, right? But if you're going to try to sell me that every expiring contract that we have is going to be part of our future, then I hope you're happy with the plan. I hope you're happy with the plan. The whole point of this is to getting better, right? $81 million in expiring contracts, all your first-round picks, all the second-round picks that you can possibly have, basically, right? Like we talk about teams that have that type of luxury and we trusted, like, for example, the Houston Rockets, right? Yes, they have young talent that they could also look to move in deals. But, like, we look at their pool of assets and we say, damn, they got a chance to add something they really need, right? They got a chance to add some shit. But nobody has that automatic feeling when it comes to the Chicago Bulls because you cannot trust them because AK and Eversley or whoever else is running this team has not properly used their assets at any point in these seasons. Now, some of that is ownership-based, right? I said earlier into this segment how the Bulls have let exceptions expire, whether that was trade exceptions, whatever it is, right? biannual exceptions they haven't used fully or whatever else it is, mid-level exceptions, right? Now, part of that is ownership, not wanting to go into the luxury tax. But again, right, that's why it's everything that's included in this franchise right now, ownership and the front office, right? Exceptions are created. The reason why the NBA has these type of exceptions, the trade exceptions that are created when you send out more money, all that type of thing, right, is to put a team in a place to where they maintain some flexibility because they are maneuvering. So you can still add a player without necessarily worrying about the actual cap space that you have because you sent out a player in an earlier deal. Like, these are all things that most teams around the NBA use to some degree. The Bulls have repeatedly let them expire. Now you have $81 million in expiring money, and you're sitting there and nobody's talked about it. Even AK in the season-ending presser, so they're focused more on the summer of 2026, right? Instead of the cap flexibility that they have now. The Bulls basically kicked the can down the road and said, hey, don't expect much from us this offseason, but next year, when you have the assets now as well. Now, understand wanting to go into a season and evaluating, right? Maybe you don't want to change very much this offseason because you really want to take a look at what this group of guys looks like at the start of next season to start off with the roles that they had that they finished this season off with. That's fair. I can give you that, right? But then still be monitoring and looking at all of this. Like, the fact that Casey Johnson has already come out and said that the team has no interest in taking next season, again, should not be a surprise. Will Bulls fans shut up about it? No. They're going to still be whining and complaining and bitching and moaning about all of it, right? But you have now set your path clear. You're not tanking, which means that if you're not a tanking team, you should be looking to take the most advantage of your assets because that is what you're going to have, maybe to gain some extra picks, maybe to move up, right? That type of thing. This is an offseason where, for example, teams that end up picking at the bottom of the first round in this draft, right? Meaning that those are teams that went off on playoff runs. Some of those teams are going to be looking for veteran help off their bench or whatever else it is, rather than adding a young 20-year-old to their team when at the time period where they're trying to contend now, right? But do you trust AK and Eversley to make those calls, right? Do you trust them to make those calls? I don't, right? For example, OKC Thunder is slated to pick 24th in this draft. Could they use a shooter like Kevin Huerter? Possibly. Could they use a backup big like Zach Collins? Does they only have two bigs on the roster? Possibly. Could they use Jalen Smith? Possibly. He's not an expiring, though, right? Taking advantage of those teams that don't necessarily need the young talent at the end of this draft, where people like Hugo Gonzalez are slated to go, right? People like Walter Clayton are slated to go, right? Those type of guys. But, you know, we have Arturas Karnisovan, Mark Eversley, who are more likely to sit on their hands than they are to ever do anything intentionally and proactively about the Chicago Bulls team. And there, my friends, lies the problem with not having a front office that really looks at being proactive about things. They rather wait till things fall in their lap. And that's why I said before, this is a front office. You have to hope that they're lucky because they're not typically going to make the smart moves. And that's where the frustration comes at, with like waiting in the practice on patience. Like, good front offices earn patience from their fan base, right? Front offices that have, you know, maybe made some really good moves, which I'll give Arturas. He's made some. The Josh Giddey move was a really fucking good move, right? He's made some good moves. But when you have seen constant forward progress, it's like, all right, listen, I know we're maybe not proceeding in the way that some of the fans had hoped, but we're getting there. We promise we're going to get there. We're going to continue. But no, that's not what this team does. Every other team around the league, look at all the teams that have made changes to the front office just since this season, the regular season ended, right? But yet we have a front office that we know no coach changes are coming, except apparently for your player development coach, which you're in a period of development. None of those changes are coming. We have no faith that Reinsdorfs are going to actually move on from AK, or hell, even AK move on from Mark Eversley, right? Who has anybody seen? Will the real Mark Eversley please stand up? Because I ain't seen him, right? Mark Eversley comes out of his cave a couple of times each year, goes back in it. We won't see him again. But hey, maybe I'm saying all this and I'm getting the cart before the horse. Maybe AK is already thinking about how to use the expiring money that he has. Or maybe we're going to see moves for Vooch. Maybe we're going to see moves where we require some more picks because, again, we're not tanking. So acquiring more picks, giving yourself more assets, maybe that's the place that you can be in. But then again, that means trading some good players away, which the Bulls, anybody who shows a sign of life, we don't move on from. But this is going to be really important just to see how he maneuvers, because I tell you what, if at the end of this season, those expiring contracts, let's say it is Vooch, just expires and walks away. Let's say Zach Collins expires and walks away. Javon Carter expires. I don't care. As long as he's gone, I don't care if Javon Carter expires and walks away, right? And let's not get into the face of the place of, what if we lose Kobe White? What if we lose Ayo Dosunmu in next year's free agency and we didn't take advantage of moving them because of the optics, right? And that's why I say this is an important offseason that AK is proactive. I don't want to see Kobe White gone, but if there's any inkling that Kobe White is not going to re-sign a contract here with the Chicago Bulls, you have to move him, period. You have to move him. And that's not no knock on Kobe, but listen, if the Bulls in their discussions with Kobe White get any feeling that, hey, Kobe's going to explore the market and there's a solid chance he may not come back, whether it's because of the firing of Peter Patton, maybe he wants to join a team that's more closer to actually contending. If that happens, Ayo, Kobe, you got to be open to moving them. You got to be looking for deals for them at the trade deadline. But then again, this is Arturis Karnisova, so do I think that he's going to do it? We shall see. We shall see. But let's go ahead and continue our player grades, which we've been doing all this week. Probably going to be going for the next couple of weeks, which leads us to almost the beginning of May, which then, you know, around the draft lottery, we'll change gears here and start focusing on our draft content. But today, we're going to grade Patrick Williams. I've been fairly, we started off the season, off the offseason with player grades on Kobe White and Josh Giddey, which we're always going to be more positive than negative, right? But Patrick Williams is an interesting case, right? Because when you look at it, he's one of the most consistent Bulls that we have here as far as statistical production. First year in the league, 9.2. Second year in the league, 9. Third year in the league, 10.2. Last year, 10. This season, 9 points per game. So he's hovered around that career average of 9.6. He's always hovered around that. Shooting. Career shooter, 45% from the field. Last year was 39%, the lowest of his NBA career. 35% from three, also the lowest of his NBA career. He's a career 39% shooter, but he actually took more, 4.3 threes per game compared to the 3.1 for his career, right? Rebounding numbers, down. Assist numbers, actually up. He averaged 2 assists. The most he's ever averaged is 1.5. Up. Blocks, about the same, 0.5. He's a 0.7 block guy per game. Right under still per game, 0.8. That's also his career average. The problem here is that Patrick Williams hasn't excelled at all, right? He hasn't really grown very much at all. Now, I know some people, as far as Patrick Williams apologists, are going to try to make the case, well, Hayes, he's been the fourth option. Okay, yes. But Manus Bouzilis came in as the fourth option. And look at Manus Bouzilis' statistical output versus Patrick Williams' statistical output as starters, right? That's what we're going to look at, like, as starters. Because on the season, Manus was actually pretty the same. But again, it's because he didn't start most that season, right? That's where it comes down to, and that's where the problem comes in at, right? Is the fact that it wasn't all of a sudden, well, there were some people that were expecting Patrick Williams all of a sudden turn into some like 18 point per game scorer, which it's never about that. But as a starter, getting 26 minutes per game, getting the same 10 shots per game that Patrick Williams got, Manus Bouzilis averaged 13 points, 1.1 blocks, 2 assists, 4.5 rebounds, right? He did more with about the same. Now, he's not the defender that Patrick Williams is on paper to be, but then again, if you watch those games, Patrick Williams took a huge slide defensively this season. At 23 years old, it feels like Patrick Williams has already peaked, and that's a concern after signing a $90 million contract extension. And so now, in getting all of that, right, in judging what that is, like, Patrick Williams had his moments. He always has his moments. He's had some moments. But the problem is that Patrick Williams seems like he's too comfortable fading into the background, and this is what we've said every single year for Pat. Patrick Williams is the same guy outside of adding some more weight that he was when he came into this league. Now, I do think that part of that's a problem. I think that Patrick Williams tried to change his body to become a more of a power forward, and he's lost some of the athleticism that he had, right? That he needs to drop some of that weight, get back down to more like what he was when he initially came into this league. But even with all that said, the disappointment that Patrick Williams is palpable. And it just, keep in mind, I've even mentioned being the fourth overall pick in this because it's not about that. It's about what you've shown on the court. How much can you get? How much have you gotten better in that? And that's where grading Patrick Williams can become difficult. But not for me anymore. We're pulling off the Band-Aid. I'm not going to give Patrick Williams an F, right? Because I think to get, much like it's hard for me to give somebody an A, it's hard for me to give somebody a flat-out F. If it's a flat-out F, you would have to be unplayable. And for the most part, Patrick Williams was a perfectly fine bench player. But that's the problem with where Patrick Williams is that he's just a perfectly fine bench player. You can replace Patrick Williams' production with so many players that should be getting paid way less than what P. Will is getting paid. Now, the P. Will thing is an F on the front office for giving him that level of extension, right? Because you saw him in your building every single day. Your player development coach that you fired told you guys that Patrick Williams ain't it, but you fired him. So the front office gets an F on the Patrick Williams and the handling of Patrick Williams. But as the player, it's a D minus, the lowest grade that I can possibly give without it being you're completely unplayable on the court. And look, can he still get better? Yes, he can. Will he? I don't have much faith that he will anymore. I don't have much faith in that when it comes to P. Will anymore because, again, P. Will feels like he doesn't give a shit. And when a player feels like they don't give a damn, it's very hard to expect that player to start stepping up in the NBA. But, hey, I really do hope that P. Will proves this grade to be too harsh next season. But therein lies a big part of the problem again. It's always let's wait till next season with P. Will. And I'm tired of fucking waiting. And the Bulls can't keep waiting on P. Will to turn into something. He can no longer be part of your future plan. If he can make himself and insert himself back to being part of that future plan, great. But as it stands right now, P. Will can't be part of that future plan because he hasn't shown shit. That's my opinion. I'd love to hear how you guys feel on that down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.